Is it time? Welcome, y'all. Good morning, Christian Fellowship. I'm going to be singing bass this morning. Just kidding. Not going to be doing a lot of singing today. Welcome. Happy post-Thanksgiving. You might feel like I do this morning, but praise God we're here. Amen. Stand up to your feet. We're going to worship. Those of you tuning in online, putting your Christmas tree up, having church at home. I don't know. We're just glad you're here with us. Will, would you pray?
God, we thank you for this day. I thank you for each and every person that's here, Lord. And I thank you for everybody tuning in online. I thank you, Lord, that we're able to set aside this time, Lord, to worship you, to hear from your word, Lord. I pray that you would bless everything that happens today, Lord. I pray that you would work in each and every heart, Lord. And just don't let anybody leave the same way they came in.
Yes,
in your name I pray. Amen.
So this first song is an encouragement. And whether you're here today to encourage someone or someone's here to be an encouragement to you, just know that there is hope in Jesus. We're going to sing about that right now. Amen. Come on, put your hands together.
Thank you. with a melody you surround me with, a song of deliverance from my enemies until all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave. Oh, yeah.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for the hope that you create in us, for the hope that you give us. You are our hope. Father, when everything else is distant, when everything else falls away, when everything else is crazy and crowded, you're our hope, your hope. Faith, hope, and love will always remain, God, and you fill us with those things. Thank you for being with us this morning to fill us with hope and faith and love. We love you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. We're so grateful and so thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yes. God is so, so good. Why don't you say hello to somebody around you? If you don't know their name, go ahead and introduce yourself. I want to welcome you. Welcome online. Thanks for tuning in. So, so glad that you're here. I'm going to have our ushers come forward as we receive our offering as part of worship this morning. Of course, we still have available outside of the buckets that we're passing here in person, we have online giving as well. We appreciate all that everyone does to help support God's work in this community, and we just give back to him out of the abundance that he's given us. Thank you, Father God, so much for your many blessings in our lives. We worship you not only with song and with voice, but we worship you with giving. Thank you. Thank you for what you've given us. Amen and amen. All right. Good deal. If this is your first time here this morning, or your second time, third time, you're a guest with us, we thank you for coming. Thanks for being here. If you haven't had opportunity to do so, we do have a New Here card in your seat back. There's a QR code on that, or you could follow the link online as well. We'd love to send you a note of thanks, and there's a checkbox on there if you want to know a little bit more about the church. Just to kind of let you know as well, next steps, if you're kind of considering making this your home, we'd love to have you. There is a Start Here class that would be kind of your next step as a guest, and it happens every second Sunday of the month. So that's coming up in a few weeks. So keep an eye out for that. We'd love to have you part of that. Pastor G runs that class, and we give time for answering questions, asking questions, answering questions. Giving responses anyway, having good discussions about what it is we do here at Christian Fellowship Church. We appreciate you coming. Other ways to get involved is serving and being part of community groups, and you can find all that information online. So lots of things going on these holiday season. We're going to check that out here on our announcement video if you'll turn your attention to the screen now.
What's up, CFers? We are so excited that you have joined us today for church. We have just a few announcements for you. First off, Worship Wednesday. It's this Wednesday. It's coming up. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be at 6:30, and it's going to be an amazing time of worship. Second, we are participating this year in the Christmas Parade. We have two things we're doing. We're going to be have a float, and we're also going to be passing out hot cocoa and snacks to our community. Right?
Right. All right, guys, we love in the Christmas season to come along some local organizations and just help them, help bless people. So the first one that we're partnering with is Meals on Wheels. We've done this for quite a few years. And this year, what Meals on Wheels is asking for is $20 gift cards for homebound seniors. So out in the lobby, you'll see on all the windows, there's cards where those seniors are asking for their gift card from. So pick up one, two, three, however many you love. We as a church have committed to 78 seniors that we're gonna get those $20 gift cards for. So go pick one of those up. That's an awesome opportunity. And then the second organization we're partnering with is our local foster care organization. And we've committed to giving Christmas to 15 kids who are in foster care. So if that's something you're interested in, there's cards out there as well with some details. This would actually be a great way for maybe a couple families to come together and just really bless those children and those families that are loving those kids so well in maybe a hard season. So that's it. Those are some great options. They're all out in the lobby. Go check them out.
That's it.
That's it.
Pastor Corey coming up.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Man, hey guys, it really is an awesome opportunity we have, both with Meals on Wheels and some of our homebound seniors, but then as well this year to bless some kids that are in the foster system. Again, we encourage you, get together with another family. We actually had each one of the foster kids fill out a card for us, and so we've got that out there, and it kind of just shares a little bit about some of the things that they're hoping to maybe see happen this Christmas. Let's bless some people this year. It's really easy, guys, to get caught up in everything. We're coming up into a season now where we've passed Thanksgiving, and so now it's official. We can officially worry about Christmas. Before there was questions. I mean, like there were some parameters that we weren't certain about. You know, should the Christmas tree go up? Should the lights go up before or after Christmas? But now we can all officially worry about Christmas and Christmas alone. The holiday season for a lot of people, as joyous as it is, in the whole point, again, remembering the birth and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what it is that he did for each and every one of us, that moment, that joyous moment, that moment that it is, sometimes just gets so lost in the hustle, the bustle, the concerns, the worries, the fears. Worry is I think it could be condensed down, a simplistic definition could easily be said, worry is a preoccupation with wanting to control or find certainty in tomorrow. None of us are ever really worried about right now. Worry, it's predominantly, it's a preoccupation with what is going to come, with tomorrow, with concerns that haven't yet happened, that haven't yet occurred. I'm okay right now. I'm okay in this moment, in this minute, but the future is what I'm uncertain about. We worry about, predominantly about the future, the uncertainties that we find within that. But if we're honest, if we really look at worry, if we really look at even the circumstances that we now find ourselves in, I think what we'd have to recognize, we'd have to come to the conclusion that at no point in time in our life, in any area of our life, were we ever able to control or predict the future. At no point in time in our lives. There's never been any absolute certainty about tomorrow. At no given point in time in anybody's life has there ever been any certainty about tomorrow. If you're here today and you currently deal with anxiety and depression, I'm sorry to have to lay this on you. But hear me. Because anxiety and depression are one of the biggest mind killers in our society today. And so often, I think what we do is we kind of kick it to the side. We don't acknowledge it. We don't look at it, or we blow it off. Like, suck it up, buttercup. Come on. But the truth is, there's people that are hurting more so now than they ever have. And yet, at the same time, we have to acknowledge, and this is what I hope you do hear me, if you are dealing with anxiety, with different issues, man, please seek help. Read everything you can on worry. Read everything you can on anxiety. Go see a doctor. Seek professional help. And while you're doing that, let's also look at what Jesus says about the very same thing. And again, I'm not knocking science, I'm not knocking doctors, I'm not knocking any of that. We need that. But Jesus, completely different than any other book you will read today, doesn't give a how to deal with, or a how to cope with, or a how to manage your worry book. Every book you read today, and there's millions upon millions of books, articles written by psychologists, by so many different doctors, by all these different people on the subject of worry, and yet every single one of them deals with the aspect of coping, of managing. Jesus is the only one who gave a definitive answer, a solution to worry. But we miss it because our minds get wrapped up in our everyday here. We miss it because our minds get wrapped up in the very worry that we say we're not so concerned about. The very thing that we don't want to happen, the very thing that we're worried about is what we give more time in our day to than the things that we say we're devoted to. And if devotion is time, and my time is my life, then every time I waste my time on worry, I waste my time and I waste my life. I heard somebody say worrying is like prayer in reverse. Think about it. What prayer? Prayer minimizes the issue. It causes the issue to become little, less in your life. But what does worry do? Worry focuses on the very issue. Worry concentrates on that very thing that you don't want to occur, that very thing that you're concerned about happening, the very thing that you're worried about is the very thing that you end up spending all of your time, your devotion to. When we worry, we've focused our attention on one thing. The things that we're worried about, we give more attention to. Am I going to get that job? Man, I've studied. I've put in the time. I've got enough years. I've got enough experience. Am I going to get it? Am I going to make it into that school? I've got a senior this year. God bless me. Wow. I've got a senior who didn't spend Thanksgiving with me this year. She's with the best friend in her family, and she's already enjoying, she's grown up. She's so college-like, and I'm going, oh, God, I'm not worried. Drive safe. Be careful. Did you eat enough? The things we're worried about, we give more attention to. We get hyper-focused on those one things in our life. And in doing so, that thing becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, and we're totally focused. And in most cases, if we're honest with ourselves, in most cases, we're totally focused on something we can't do anything about. Welcome to worry. And the thing is worry has been around since like the beginning of time. Since the very beginning, there was worry. Well, yeah, but God said not to eat that apple, because if I eat that apple, this is what's going to happen. Oh no, that's not it. Oh, but God said, but you're saying, but what'll happen? And look, people have been worrying forever, and that's why it's so amazing. Jesus took the time over 2,000 years ago to directly address the issue you're facing today. And again, unlike anything else, Jesus gives us the solution. He gives us the solution. What he says is incredible. It truly does have the potential to transform, to renew your mind, your way of thinking. We ended last week with this verse, with verse 26. Again, we're in Matthew 6, verses 24 through 34. Today, I want to pick up on verse 27, but look here. This is where we ended last week, on verse 26. And we ended with the question, do you think that God cares for you more than he does for the birds? I mean, it really is a simplistic question. And if you missed last week, if you're tuning in online, I encourage you. You need to go back and you need to hear last week. Because last week and this week, they kind of set us up. Jesus is just laying a foundation. He hadn't even gotten to the how-to of do not. He hadn't even gotten to the how-tos yet, but he's setting something up. He's laying the groundwork for you. And he's telling you, look, I'm telling you why you can face uncertainty and still not worry. I'm not saying don't worry, life is going to be easy. Don't worry, laissez-faire, we're just going to kick it back and we're just going to relax and we're not going to care. That's not what I'm saying. There's still going to be concerns, but there's going to be reason why you don't have to worry in the middle of those concerns. We looked last week at Jesus, and he tells us, he says, look, God loves you more than the birds. When God made creation, he stopped and he said, this I'm doing different. Everything else, it's good, but this will bear my image. This will carry my life within it. This is different. You mean something more to him than just the birds do. And yet he takes care of the birds. So we're going to pick up. We're continuing on in verse 27. And Jesus says this. He says, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Can you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? It didn't jump forward, did it? I love technology. I do. Number three. There we go. All right. That may not be working. We'll just leave it. Another version of this same passage translates the same way. It says this, though. It says, another version reads, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single cubit to your height? Both of these versions, translating what Jesus is saying, both of them are saying the same thing. It's not literally meaning, can you extend your life? Have we found the secret to adding an hour to life? Have we found the secret for growth? No longer do you have to take a pill. Now you can just not worry and you can grow another foot taller. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. He's trying to get you to recognize something. He's trying to get you to recognize, can worry bring any positive value to your situation? Will worry cause you at all to be able to rise above your situation? So basically, Jesus is looking at all of this. He's saying, look, go ahead then. Go ahead. Get hyper-focused on that one thing. Get so focused on that one thing that you worry about, well, what about this or what about that? Or what if this or what if that? Or what if I or what if they? Or what if? Go ahead. Keep on getting hyper-focused. And then as you do that, ask yourself, am I helping this situation? All right, let's direct this a little bit. Hold on, be careful. Like, you know, get your toes ready. Think about the one area that you worry about all day. Whatever it is. Something as big as a job, a family member, a loved one, a health issue, whatever it is, or whether it's just as simple as, you know, what is tomorrow gonna bring? Whatever your worry is that you focus time, that you give effort to today, you give devotion to today, whatever that is, has your worry brought any positive outcome to that issue? And Jesus says, no, it doesn't, because it can't. So let me suggest something. Pause for a moment and look at the birds of the air. And recognize that God loves you more than he loves them. And we know that God cares for them. And if God cares for them, and we know God cares for us more than he cares for them, if he loves us that much, and if I've done all I can do today for this situation, for this issue, for this worry, if I've done all I can do today, then can God be trusted in the tomorrow that I have no control over? It's a simple question. Because if God can be trusted in the tomorrow that I have no control over, then I don't have to worry about the tomorrow that I have no control over. Not because I know what's going to happen either. I'm not going to worry solely because I'm trusting the only one that can do anything about tomorrow. Continuing on in verses 28 through 30, Jesus continues and he says, and why? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. And again, just like the birds, he's making this correlation. He's hoping you guys realize, you understand, you labor. You spin. You create clothes. You strive. You put forth effort. The flowers, they're lazy. They do nothing. At no point in time do they give any help towards what God does for them. They just wake up in the morning and go, oh, is that the sun? I think I'll just follow the sun today. Oh, no sun. Oh, the sun. I think I'll just, sun. That's their day. Yeah, it's my imitation of a flower. God, I do those things and then I do those things a lot of times without thinking. A lot of times I put a lot of thought into what it is I do, but then there's some things that just happen, and it's those things that I worry about. Man, because I've got great staff, and at some point in time today, there's going to be a meme of me doing. Oh, man. All right. So look, all of that for this. Look, the flowers are lazy. And yet I tell you, not even Solomon, in all of the riches and all of the splendor and everything that he had, was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, the very thing which is here today and tomorrow we throw it into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Jesus is starting to lay the framework, the groundwork for when we get to the very scripture, the how-to of do not worry. But you've got to grab this, because again, if you don't understand the problem, you're never going to hear the solution. If we don't recognize the problem, we're never going to hear the solution. And Jesus is telling us, look, if God can take care of the flowers, if God can take care of the birds, and the birds don't do anything. They're worse off than the flowers. I mean, look, you try. I told you I have a senior, and I thought I would be that parent that was just like, yep, get on with yourself. I'm excited for me and mama time now. And I find there's a little bit of worry and angst in me, even though I said I wasn't going to be that parent. Let's think about the birds. How do the birds treat their kids? They don't care. It's time for you to get on. Boom, straight out of a tree, like that high up. Straight out, you're gonna fly or you're not. I've at least got a little bit of concern for my daughter. Thank you. And Jesus sees that. He understands. He knows. You at least have concern. If that's how God takes care of those which we don't even care about, will he not take care of that which he does care about even more? And then he dives right into the heart of the issue. That last line, look how he closes out verse 30. He says, you have little faith? We try and deal with worry by telling people to stop worrying, telling somebody to stop worrying is like telling somebody to, okay, it's time to go to sleep. Go to sleep. You can't just, like, you can't try to go to sleep. You go to sleep. If you try to go to sleep, what happens? You don't go to sleep. Worrying, it's the same thing. If you try and stop worrying, okay, I'm not gonna worry about that thing. Oh my God, I'm not gonna worry about that. If you try and stop worrying by stopping worrying, you don't stop it. But what if the issue isn't the worry so much as the issue might be your faith? We might not want to hear this. Jesus says the reason it's difficult for you to pull away and trust me, the reason it's difficult for you to trust me with the uncertainty of tomorrow, the very reason that you are so devoted to, give so much time to, the very issues that create emotionally distraught levels in your life, the very issue you don't do that, the question is, do you trust your Heavenly Father? Is your faith that little? Worry is expressing zero confidence, zero faith in God's willingness or God's ability to take care of you. That hurts. Because I've got areas that I worry about. My worry, in essence, what I'm saying is that I have zero faith in God's willingness, God's ability to provide in that area in my life, because I'm choosing to worry about it instead of trusting Him with it. Oh. Oh. Jesus is telling us the issue of worry is an issue of faith in God. You don't stop worrying by stop worrying. What you need to recognize is, where does your faith lie? There's a relationship between the size of your faith and the size of your worry. That's my scales. If we're going to do everything else, I might as well get them all on there. Woo. There's a relationship between your faith and your worry. And Jesus tells us the reason your worries are so big is because your faith is so small. You little faither. Now, this is fun. Little faither. The Greek words actually translated here, when Jesus says this, he says, you of little faith. There's no other time in literature anywhere before Christ that you will find these two words put together. Jesus basically, in essence, created a compound word. He made up this word. It's little faithers. He literally said, you little faithers. And hear me, because I think a lot of times we misconstrue, we get the wrong idea of what Jesus is saying through this whole passage, but then especially here, you little faithers. See, we start getting the mindset that Jesus is condescending, like he's kind of backhand slapping us, like, you serious, guys? Don't be so stupid. Which there might be some truth to that. There's been some times where I think Jesus has needed to backhand slap me and kind of say, Corey, quit being so stupid. But here, he's making this correlation. He's hoping that you truly grab, look right now, you're a little faither. He's already explained to us all you need is the faith of a mustard seed. You only need just a little bit of faith. So he's not talking about an amount. He's not referring to an amount. He's talking about an understanding of what faith is. We're starting to operate in it. We're starting to get it. We're starting to dabble. We're starting to believe. But oh, you've got so much more to go. You're going to get it, but... Oh, come on, come with me right here. Let me show you this. I think a lot of times where we get stuck in this is we use the line, look, Corey, I know God can. I don't know if he will. Corey, I know that God can help me get the job that I need that's going to provide the benefits, the things that I need. Corey, I know that God can provide for my family even during times where it seems like everything's in turmoil, everything's crazy. Corey, I know that God can provide that education that I need, the finances to pay for an education. All of these things, Corey, I know God can, but I don't know that he will. I mean, for me, yeah, he's done it. For others, maybe, but I know he can. I know, but I just don't know that he will. And here's what I hope you grab. Jesus in all of this, with this line, this compound word he's made up, you little faither, he's setting something up. He's setting up. He's saying, look, you've already believed the harder to believe part. You've already believed the harder to believe part. So why not then just let your faith take its natural course, its next step? You're already there. You're already walking that line. Why not just continue to take one more step? Corey, what are you talking about? Do you believe that God created the heavens and the earth? Do you believe that God created the birds? And with creating the birds, created in them the mindset that knows when to turn south for the winter and when to build a nest, and he provides. We believe that he does that, right? And y'all believe in flowers. I mean, we can walk outside and see flowers. We know that, and with flowers, what do we believe? Well, we believe that they come up, they grow, and somehow there's seed, there's bees, birds, bees, pollen. We know. I don't have to go into that story today, right? Thank you. We believe all that. So, let me get this. You believe that there's a God that created everything. There's a single invisible existing being that created all of existence, time, everything within time, and you believe that he caused it to form and to function and to operate at just the right distances and speeds, and everything happens at just the right time. You believe that. And you also believe that he created you in his image. So you believe that of all the things that he created, that he formed, that he fashioned, that he created to operate and to function in time and space and existence, and then the very thing that he loves the most out of all of that, you don't think he's going to take care of that? We need to be able to trust God with the next series of whatever's tomorrow brings. There's a relationship between our faith and our worry. People with huge faith, they don't worry much, do they? In fact, if we're honest, people with huge faith, not only do they not worry much, they bother us a little bit. I mean, right? Like, you can be dealing with the same situation and they're not worried about it enough. Like, yo, do you not see, like, do you not recognize the issue that we're facing right now? No, don't. You need to be on the worry wagon with me, because I'm worried about this, and you obviously don't realize the worry that should be associated with this, and so let's worry together. Come on. We do. We're worried about people that don't look like they worry too much. And you've met people like this. Their circumstances are bad. Their future may be unsure. And you talk to them, and it's not necessarily that they're fine. they're just not worried. They don't seem to be afraid. We look at the situation and we wonder, man, I don't know how I would handle, I don't think I could handle that if I was, wow. Like if I went through that, there ain't no way my family would still be together. If I went through that, there would be a lot more liquid medication needed in my life. We make up all these different lines, these things. We look at people and we say, man, I can't handle that. That's crazy. But the truth is, we've just met somebody with faith bigger than that worry. Here's your scale. Jesus says, look, we've got to talk about faith. We've got to recognize that the issue of worry isn't the worry, it's faith. The reason you worry is because you have such little faith in God. Based on your today, based on your yesterday, based on just watching your life, if somebody were to watch you live and see the amount of time that you give to whatever it is you give time to in a day, would they wonder or would they know whether or not you have more faith in worry or you have more faith in God? If they based it just on the idea that your time is valuable, and if you give up your time, you're in essence giving up your life, right? You can't get more time. When you run out of time, you run out of life. When you run out of life, you run out of time. So our time is our life. So if worry is a waste of time, oh, golly, worry is a waste of life. And so then, if somebody's watching your life, do they see how much time you give to your worry or how much time you give to your God? Your relationship with Christ. And Jesus is telling us, he says, look, you have more faith in your worry than you do in your Heavenly Father, you little faither. Like you're starting, you're beginning to understand, you grasp it, you're starting to believe, but you don't get it. You don't got it yet. Again, I said this at the beginning, I'm gonna say it again, and this isn't to scare you. There's never been one single second of your life that has been certain. Like if you were worried about tomorrow, understand that there's always been uncertainties for tomorrow. Since the day you were born, there has always been an uncertainty about that next step. It's just that at different times in our lives, we've become more aware of whatever that next step is going to be. And in becoming aware of whatever that next step is, we then also become aware of the concern we have towards that next step. But your future has been uncertain every single moment of every single day. That's worrisome. Unless you realize every day is just a day to become more aware of your uncertainty. But if every day is just a day to become more aware of my uncertainty, then there is a possibility, because Jesus himself said, there's a way to do not worry. So if Jesus can say, do not worry, then I have to understand there's a way to do not worry, right? God has been faithful to me in every past uncertainty. If I recognize that my life has been an unlimited amount of uncertainties from the day I was born to now, then I have to recognize that every single one of those God has been unfaithful in, even the ones I don't know about. We sang the song this morning about him splitting the seas wide open and we can walk right through it. I wonder how many times you've walked right through the seas, never even noticing, caring, or giving thanks for. the walls created to help you across dry land? Or did you just moan because you had sand between your teeth, feet, wherever? Wherever you chose to put the sand, you just moaned about it, all right? Don't put sand between your teeth. That's it. When you weren't aware, when you weren't stressed about it, there were still uncertainties, right? So, our awareness has changed. Life has changed. The economy has changed. My kids have changed. Things have changed, yes. What about God has changed? Scripture tells me he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if God hasn't changed, it's just my awareness of the circumstances that I now find myself in, then why do I need to worry when I know that God is taking care of every circumstance that I've been in before? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Now again, we said this last week. What shall we eat, drink, wear? These were issues that the people in their culture were dealing with immediate. I think there are worry points in our culture today. We worry about what we're going to eat, but not to the extent that they worried about what they were going to eat. Today, we worry about so many other things. We worry about a job, the market, the economy, the ability to pay for employees, the ability to keep employees, employees concerned about the ability to pay and to profit and to make enough to be able to provide for their own family. There's all these worries that we deal with in our culture. A job in this economy. There's people that we have a tendency to belittle other people's issues, but other people's issues is just that. It's the issues they're still having to deal with, their worries. We all deal with worries. For some, they're realizing, man, we had set aside and planned to build a new house, and now how can we, when prices have gone up like they have in this economy, in this market, how can we do that? And then there's other people on the opposite end of the spectrum that are just worried about, am I going to be able to make enough this week to be able to afford the rent of the place that I do have? It doesn't make one issue less than the other. It's just your issue. But how much time, how much focus are you giving to that issue? Jesus is telling us, look, don't sit there and play the what if game, the what about game, the how am I game. Don't do that. Whoa, don't worry about it. Don't worry about how it's going to happen. Don't worry about your future. Don't spend your time, your life, stressed over those things. And not because they're not important. They're very important. In fact, the scriptures that we're about to get into this next week, he starts talking about the very importance of the things that we give worry to. He says, look, don't worry about those things. Don't spend your time, don't waste your day stressed out over those. And not that you should be careless. Don't worry isn't a don't care attitude. Not his point at all. Again, another reference he's going to really dive into next week when you come back. He tells us after you've done all that you can do, don't sit around and worry about the uncertainty that tomorrow brings. Have faith in God. Here's what I want to do for as I close. I'm going to begin to close. Begin to close. Don't think I'm closing. I'm going to have the band come up, but I've got some points and some homework for you. Yep, homework. I need your help. Here's what I want to do. I want to give you a couple takeaways and just a little homework assignment. Fun stuff. But the reason is really to help you guys and me in our tracking along this. Because again, if you don't get the foundation that Jesus is laying last week and this week, you're not gonna catch what he's gonna give you next week when he gives you a solution. Because again, if you don't recognize the problem, you can't hear the issue. You can't hear the solution. And so this week, what I hope you guys do is let's remember these three things if we can. The first thing we've learned is that worry is a waste of time. And if worry is a waste of time, when I run out of time, I run out of life. I don't have to keep explaining that. We get that, right? Like, I realize it's early in the morning, and some of y'all are going to have to come back and rewatch this video just to try and figure this out. But we understand what I'm saying, right? Time equals life. The things that I give time to, I give my life to. And if I can't do anything with worry, if worry doesn't help the situation, it doesn't let me rise above it, it doesn't let me grow out of it, it doesn't add any positive to that, then I'm just wasting time, wasting life. The second thing is, Jesus is telling us, you do what you can do. Throughout Scripture, you're going to see parables on sowing and reaping, about storing away in barns. He's not negating the value in doing that. I'd love to tell you that was the Holy Spirit. So we do what we can, but then we're to trust God with what we can. Worry's a waste of my life, and I need to trust God with what I can't accomplish today. So at the end of every day, when our brains start to fire, when they sit there and they start attacking us, and they go down this worry trail, and they start telling us, hey, you need to be worried about this. You need to be concerned today. Tomorrow, this is happening. Tomorrow, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. When that happens, our thought process simply says, hold up. I've done all that I can today. So I'm going to trust God with tomorrow. It's a simple line. I've done all I can today, so I'm going to trust God with tomorrow. Because again, guys, if we realize that we've done more than the birds, more than the flowers. I've taken care of my little girl. I didn't kick her out of the house when she turned 17 and say, fly, little birdie, good luck with that. We do what we can. And so if we've done what we can, and I know that he loves me more than he loves both the flowers and the birds, then I know he loves her too. Whatever your worry, whatever your situation, I'm trusting God with my life. I'm trusting God with my tomorrow. And then the last thing that I want you to think about this week, and I've been getting at it, but we're really going to jump on it next week. I want you to start thinking about this. If our emotions are driven by the very things that we're devoted to, the very things that we give time in our day to, if our emotions, the worry, the anxiety, the fear, all of those things, if all of those are driven by that aspect, the time that I give to that aspect, then what are the things in my life that I'm really devoted to? This is a hard question. Oh, she's not here. I was gonna point over and make a really cool illustration with my wife. I love you, babe. I can say throughout my week that she's my everything. But at the end of the day, what have I given more thought to, more concern, more devotion to? In your life, start pondering, start thinking, start writing down the very things that take up your time each day.
Because while you say you're devoted to one thing, your life right now may be showing that you're devoted to something else. You're giving your time, your life to something else. And the reason I want you to start trying to parallel, the reason I want you to start trying to write those things down and recognize those things is because starting next week, what Jesus does is, I've alluded to it, but he really starts to say, okay, if these are the things you're devoted to that are then causing your worry, what if you shift your devotion? So this week, write those things down, the very things that occupy your time, your mind, write them down. The very things that you're worried about. Because this really is one of those best questions. If your worry pinpoints your devotion, what is it that you're truly devoted to? And then, with that, what if you could come to the understanding, what if you could realize, what if you could wake up every single day and live your life absolutely confident that God was your heavenly Father and that not only could He, but that He wanted to. What would you live your life like? How would your life live daily different? What if you could wake up every single day confident that God loves you more than the birds and more than the flowers? See, if we could, if we could wake up confident that God loves them that much, and yet my identity, which means so much more to Him, He cares for me so much more. If we could get that, then we could completely stop worrying. Not because the future was certain. Never because we knew exactly what tomorrow was going to bring or what it was going to happen. No. You'd only stop worrying because you were trusting in your Heavenly Father. Because your faith outweighed your worry. The last thing I'm going to ask you guys to do this week I want you guys to read this passage, Matthew 6, 24 through 34. Every day, Matthew 6, 24 through 34, it's 11 verses. Like, even if you read really slow, it won't take you that long. But I promise you this, you start reading those verses and something's going to start grabbing. In light of what we said these last 2 weeks and then coming into the how-to of do not worry this next week, look, I'm telling you, man, start reading it this week because something's gonna grab a hold. Because what I don't want to do, I don't want to have another really cool series that we throw up on the internet, and when somebody says, well, I've been concerned about, we say, hey, Corey did a really good message. You should go listen to it. So what? What I'm really praying happens is that your mind would be renewed, that your lives would be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which proves, come on guys, look, I pray this is life-changing for you. Matthew 6, 24 through 34, that God would do something permanent in your heart as it relates to worry. That the future, the uncertainties, the areas that you don't know what's going to happen, because they exist. They're there. They're always going to be there. But all of those areas, even though the uncertainty doesn't go away, that you would find the ability to not worry. So think upon these things. Read these verses this week. And I'm going to close it right there. Like, it totally leaves us hanging. But this week, I pray what you get is that there's a relationship between your worry and your faith. And this week, what you need to recognize is, what are you giving more time to? Are you giving more time to your faith, or are you giving more time to your worry? Stand with me as I close, guys. And look, next week, I'm telling you, next week, the very next line, he makes this beautiful, kind of grabs these last 2 weeks and this analogy that he's creating. He grabs it and he totally just like lays it out for us. And then he goes into the solution. But you're not going to hear it unless you come back next week. So there you go. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, for your truth, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord God. I thank you for the rock upon which I can stand, Lord God, that I don't have to fear. Even when the storms around me toss to and fro, even when the waves crash around me, Lord God, even when life itself seems to be falling apart, Lord God, I can rest and I cannot worry because my foundation is secure. Because my feet are planted upon a rock that cannot be shaken. And Lord, because of that, because I know, Lord Jesus, that you care for me more than you care for anything else in this world that you created, I can trust, Father, that you're going to take care of me in the situations I face tomorrow, in the uncertainties that I don't know about, Lord God. In every single one of these, Lord God, I can know your purpose and your plan for me is to give me a future and a hope for a life, Lord Jesus. An abundant life, life, Lord God, that lives as if your kingdom was right here on earth. A life, Lord God, excited about the possibility and the potential of tomorrow. A life, Lord God, that just wakes up daily to look at the sun and say thank you. Father, I pray this week that as we recognize the areas in our life where we're showing more devotion to worry as opposed to showing devotion to you, Father, I pray that you would start to reveal those areas in our life, that we would start to recognize, Lord God, what it is that we give time to. Father, that we wouldn't walk in a minimal understanding, Lord Jesus, but that we would walk in your word and your truth, and we would walk no longer as a little faither, Father, but somebody who walks confidently, shoulders back, head held high in the confidence of the love of my God. Father, I thank you for life, and I thank you for your love. It's in the name of your Son that I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Guys, come on. Give a shout out to the Lord. Listen, you want to come back next week. You want to hear next week. We'll see you all. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday afternoon.